welcome to episode 2 of Sounds Groovy with me, Meg. Here we are, episode 2. Can you guys believe it? Thank you so much to everyone who listened, and thank you so much for coming back. If you're new, welcome. My name is Meg. You're listening to Sounds Groovy, the podcast where we're going to look high and low to find all the most cracking talent of unsigned, unknown artists, and we're going to listen to their music and have a grand old time. So I hope everyone's had a great week. Mine has been wonderful. My parents went away for the weekend, so I was home alone for a whole 3 evenings. It's been absolute bliss. Feeling very festive. Yesterday I watched The Grinch and I wrapped all my Christmas presents. So it's all going very, very well.
We've got a cracking lineup this week. We've got music from Debris Discs, Grace Beverly, Anjali Tanajar, Queen Colourbus.
An interview with Atmos Bloom, and of course we've got our wild card, so we'll have to see what that is. So buckle up and enjoy, and let's go to our first track. So our first track of the week is a song by Derbyshire's Debris Discs, which is actually a really cool thing. I looked it up because I thought discs, maybe that's something musical. It's actually about space. And it's the ring around a star that's made of, like, debris, but it looks really cool from a distance. So very funky name. I dig it. From Derbyshire, he's the former Coves and Caves frontman, and also from My Side of the Mountain. It's James Eyrie, who now is releasing his own music under the name Debris Discs, and has been since 2019. I mean, kudos to him, man, because he's smashing 2020. You know, balancing work, balancing life, balancing parenting some very young children, and has still managed to put out some cracking music. So I have to say, kudos to you, Mr. Debris Discs. The song we're going to listen to is called Save My Life, and it's beautiful. I love it. It's got these really gorgeous melodies, some really catchy kind of hooks, some super cool synths. So this is the 5th single that he's released this year, and it's an absolute cracker. So this is Debris Discs, and this is his single Save My Life.
Can I fool them with a victim?
So that was Save My Life by Debris Discs. I absolutely love that song. I think it's the bass line that really gets me. It's just so funky. And I really love that sort of storytelling aspect of it. Like, you can really follow how he's feeling from the beginning, where he's sort of being like, you know, save my life, to the end where he feels like, you know, he's back with his love and he feels like his life has been saved. And it's just a nice little happy ending. And we could all use some happy endings right now. So this next track, we're going to jump over the pond to Washington, D.C. We're going to have a little listen to Anjali Taneja. She's an upcoming artist from D.C. working alongside a label called Over Everything. And she's hoping to break it into the R&B scene. And I get it, because her voice is incredible, her music's incredible, and she's definitely someone that I'm going to be keeping an eye on from now on. She's got some really cool covers on Instagram, actually. She recently did Positions by Ariana Grande, and I just cannot get over this girl's voice. It is absolutely incredible. Her just vibrato, she is perfect. Like, it's just amazing, and she has this sense of kind of laziness where, you know, she sings like as if she's just like, I don't know, making some pasta, and that, you know, she's not even trying, and this beautiful noise is just coming out of her. So she has this really sort of like lazy energy, which I mean in the best way possible, and I love a lazy singer. I think if you can make it sound like, you know, you're just doing it without even trying, I'm so into it. So she's absolutely incredible. She's described this single as a look into her complex relationship between art and love. I absolutely love it. So this is Golden Linings by Anjali Taneja. So there we go. Golden Linings by Anjali Taneja. Just beautiful. absolutely love her. I want her to sing me lullabies until I fall to sleep every night. That's all I'm looking for in life. There's also a lyric video that's just come out for Golden Lines, which is really cool. It's this sort of like montage-y, trippy, like journey. I feel like that's what I felt like when I was watching the lyric video. Yeah, so go check it out. Definitely someone I'm going to be keeping an eye on, and hopefully we get some more tracks very, very soon. This segment has affectionately started to become known as Chat Shit with Meg. And this week on Chat Shit with Meg, we're gonna start by talking about Taylor Swift. So if you've been living under a rock, Taylor Swift released a second album this week. It was a sister album to her Folklore album, that was a lot of albums in one sentence. So Folklore came out earlier on in the year, and then she dropped Evermore this last week, and it was a complete surprise. I can assume that people knew something was happening. I've got a friend who's a big, big Taylor Swift fan, and she tweets about it all the time. I think they knew something was coming. I don't know whether they thought it was maybe a music video, or like, you know, the thing that she just did, the studio pond thing she just did with Disney. I don't know what, but they knew their magic, like good fans always do, and they knew that something was coming. And it just so turned out that it was an album. There definitely has been sort of like a move towards surprise albums in the last kind of 20 years or so. I think it's really cool. I know that I read a really interesting article on it, and it was talking about how they started, because in the sort of like noughties, leaks were happening, because obviously people would announce, you know, we're going to release a new album in the next however many months, and then the month before it was meant to come out, someone would have it and someone would leak it, and then we all pirated music back then. Can I say that? Will I get arrested for saying that? I don't know. You know we all did it, let's not lie. We all YouTubed MP3'd and downloaded it onto our phone or Bluetooth it or whatever it was that we did when we were like 11, 12 years old. Yeah, but anyway, people would leak music. That's the point I'm trying to make. So artists had to come up with a new, creative, exciting way to promote their albums and to not get them leaked. So the obvious thing to do was surprise everyone by just dropping it. To me, a proper surprise album is maybe announce it not even 20, maybe like 24 hours beforehand. Or, you know, I feel like, fuck it, just post it and just see what happens. Let's just go. Who needs any promo for it if you're like freaking Beyonce or something? But normally it classifies as maybe like a promo about a week beforehand that gets classified as a surprise album. The first people who did it, was Radiohead back in 2007. They announced that they were going to be releasing their album, oh my god, what's it called? The one about rainbows. In Rainbows by Radiohead. They announced that they were going to release it on the 1st of October, and then it came out about 10 days later. So they're sort of credited as being the first people who did a surprise album, but they definitely were not the last. And you know, with the rise in technology and things like social media making things go crazy, it's definitely easier for us to do surprise albums. Knock yourself out, get creative. I think people have done some incredibly creative album launches. Nine Inch Nails, they released their album completely for free. Did they not? I think, if I got this right, I think it was something to do with their relationship with their record label. And I think they left their record label and then released like two albums back to back and didn't charge for them. Which I guess is one way to flip middle finger off to your record label if you don't like them. There's this other album, and like for the life of me, I cannot remember who it is. I think maybe it was someone like The Killers or Keane or I don't know. But basically, and I can literally visualize it. Basically, it was a website. And it was like a room, and there were all these different items in the room, and you had to pick 10 items, and each item represented one of the songs that was on this album. So you picked the order, you picked like the order of the songs, you picked which songs, I think maybe you picked, I don't know, 8 out of 14 or something, and you sort of built your own album, and I cannot remember who it was, and it's really going to annoy me. And I know that as soon as I turn this microphone off, it's going to come to me and I'm going to be like, oh, it was What's His Face. The first one I remember that literally like shocked my world was Beyonce releasing Lemonade. It wasn't the first time she'd done it. She'd done it before with her self-titled album. And I remember there's an article from Harley Brown and Vulture. And let me read the quote. So the quote is, Beyoncé's self-titled visual album appeared like a Christmas miracle on the iTunes store at midnight on a Thursday in December of 2013. The rules for how to release a record were rewritten literally overnight. The first one I remember is definitely Lemonade. And I was actually studying media at sixth form at the time, and we were using Beyoncé as one of our case studies, and it was the week before our media exam, and suddenly we had to learn everything new again because Beyoncé turned around and was like, psych, got a new album. So we had to learn all about Lemonade. And I remember my head of year, Mr. Robbins, he had to buy it for us so that we could look at it, so that we could all write about it in our exams. Good times, what could I say? And then of course, we cannot talk about surprise albums without the entirely controversial move from U2 to just put their songs on like 500,000 people's iTunes accounts. Is it Songs of Innocence? It's that album, isn't it? I still have it on my phone because I just never bothered to get rid of it. I'm a Spotify girl, I have to say. I don't use my iTunes hugely often, but it's still there. So if I ever want to listen to some U2, they're there, representing, living their best lives. Yes, that was just a bit of a rant from me, really, on surprise albums and cool things. Lemonade by Beyoncé, I just have to say, can you imagine how cool it would have been to work on that campaign? I think it would have been incredible, because they literally took over iTunes. Like, everywhere you looked on iTunes, Beyoncé was there, like, living her best life. And, oh my God, the amount of NDAs that they must have had, crazy. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, so that's all I had to say about surprise albums, really. Good old T-Swizzle making it topical, like she does. Yeah, I don't even know how to end this segment today. Chat shit with Meg. What can I say?
So our third track of the episode is one that I'm quite excited about. I've just become obsessed with this girl. I think she's got such a cool aesthetic, and I'm really, really excited to see like where she goes next. So this next song is by Grace Beverly. She also has a day job as a technical artist at a video game company, and I don't really know what that means, but that sounds really cool. So yeah, a very cool bean. I think she sounds great. She talks about how she really likes sort of like crooners and slow jazz, and that definitely makes sense because she's almost like a kind of modernized version of those artists. People like Peggy Lee, Doris Day. She's really, really super cool. I mean, it makes sense that she's an incredible artist because she clearly comes from a musical household. She says that her mum plays the alto sax, that she's a singer. Her dad was a drummer for a swing big band. So she plays all of those instruments, and she plays the clarinet, and she clearly can write songs. So we have a musical genius on our hands, is what I'm saying, guys. She says that her love for jazz and swing and blues came from being a clarinet player in a swing big band. I'm going to take a little listen. This is Grace Beverly, and this is her track Deity.
Have you seen me lately? I just get better every day. A real beauty, such a lady, is just a few things you could say. I'm so cute with my long hair falling down to my waist. Greenest eyes you'll ever see, sit so pretty on my face. Watch how I move, baby. My hips sway from side to side. Victorious angel, I could well be. No one could ever knock my pride. I'm so cute with my long hair falling down to my waist. Greenest eyes you'll ever see, sit so pretty on my face.
I just absolutely love that track. So that was Deity by Grace Beverly. I just think there's something so sort of like eerily beautiful about that song, and that sort of like goddess, divine quality sort of vibe. Like, it's just that sort of balance between that sort of ethereal scariness, but also being a bit of like a self-love anthem. So I think it's really good. I think it's incredible for a debut single. And I'm really, really excited to see what comes next. Hey, everybody. So it's really, really exciting. Today, we've got Atmos Bloom with us. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hi, we're doing good, yeah.
Good, good. So we've got Curtis and Tilda here, Manchester duo. They released their self-titled debut EP in September, end of September.
Yeah, I think it was 1st October, was it?
Yeah, 1st October.
Yeah.
Amazing. Cool. How's that been? Been nearly 2 months now.
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. We're pretty pleased with how it's all been going. We've had lots of nice feedback.
Yeah, lots of nice feedback. People still listen to it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Good, good. Did it surprise you, kind of the reaction to it, or were you sort of expecting it?
No, definitely. I was pretty surprised. We just thought we had the songs, wanted to get it out, and I think any positive feedback was not expected at all, not on my part.
No, it was a pretty low-key release. We didn't expect anything, really. We just wanted to release something in lockdown. So.
Yeah. You sort of seemed to just kind of come out of nowhere and had some really great sort of like response to it, because I know you've had quite a few like reviews and interviews with sort of like Writer Mag and PCN. So how did you sort of do that? Because I know that that's a thing that a lot of new artists really struggle with, is sort of getting that first foot in the door, that first review, that first interview.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much just emailed a bunch of people. I mean, both of us have been in Manchester, in this sort of Manchester scene for a little bit, so knew a few couple of people, but it was really just sending the EP to a bunch of different people. I mean, just been really lucky that people have liked it.
Cool. Okay, so when I was trying to describe to my editor what you guys sounded like, I really struggled to sort of like pick a specific thing. I was just like, oh, you know, it's kind of dreamy and floating, kind of like lo-fi. And I how I described it is, I said it was kind of like if Stevie Nicks, but like not rocky Stevie Nicks, like no more dreamy Stevie Nicks, had like a love child with Alt J. I was like, that's what they sound like. So how would you guys describe your music?
I mean, what you just said, the sort of dreamy lo-fi. Yeah, I guess we'd say sort of dream pop, maybe a little bit shoegazy at times.
Yeah, we've got dreamy a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
And lo-fi, because the way we record it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, I think I find it quite happy and sad at the both at the same
time. Yeah, a couple of people have said that, the kind of happy, sad thing, which I think I notice it a lot in music that I listen to as well. It's sort of like uplifting, but sad at the same time, which I think.
Yeah.
Cool. And is that kind of, was that the style like right from the get-go, or was that sort of a sound that developed over the time of you guys working together?
The sound developed when we were recording. We wrote two songs each, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Then we brought them together, and then we started layering guitars and using certain effects, and the things we liked sounded dreamy, I think, and we kept that consistent throughout the EP to give it that sound. So yeah, it was deliberate.
Nice. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't release any singles, did you? You just released the EP as a whole.
Yeah, all four in one go.
Nice. Was there kind of a thought process behind that, or?
I mean, we had more songs. Both of us in lockdown had, I mean, I had loads, not many that were worth recording, but I think we just thought four was a nice length. And I mean, it is quite a short EP, really. In total, it's like about 15 minutes or so, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's under 20 minutes, but I don't know if we would have really covered it in a single. I think we just wanted to get out. We wanted to do more, but...
Yeah, we thought they worked together quite well as well. Like you say, it was quite short. I think it's a little cohesive piece rather than lots of individual ones. We just wanted to get it out.
Yeah, it has a really nice flow to it, I think, like kind of from song to song.
Yeah, we tried to do that, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually have a version which flows even better. Spotify. We couldn't get it on Spotify.
Yeah. Version, it's got some of the birds like tweeting over it, sort of to the next one. Yeah. That's pretty.
Oh, I loved the birds. Did you actually record those, or is that just like a track you found?
No, yeah, we didn't record any of the sort of effects, but I think I definitely want to. We mentioned traffic sounds and things. I think
yeah,
it's cool.
I like to use normal sounds and layer them for tech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Nina Nesbitt's TikTok account where she like goes out into like a field and stuff and she records herself like stamping on twigs or like dropping a stone and then she uses that as all her like editing? They're really good.
Yeah, they're really cool. Have you seen those?
No,
they're cool, yeah.
They're really cool. Okay, cool. So we're gonna have a little listen. So this is Atlas Bloom and this is their song Just Another Day. Amazing. So that was Just Another Day from Atlas Bloom. We did just discuss the bird tweets, but I love it. I just think it's so good. So I had to ask you guys, how was the writing process?
So we independently wrote the demos just on our own in lockdown and then sent them to each other really back and forth a bit and then decided to record Thor for the EP together in our rehearsal space in Manchester. So it was half and half written and then produce it.
So did you independently write those knowing that it was going to be like a joint project, or did you kind of independently write them and then afterwards you decided, hey, we should put these all together?
Yeah, it was more like the second bit. So I was just messing around really bored in lockdown doing uni exams and just playing around with GarageBand. Basically did not think I'd do anything with them at all. And then Curtis had a couple of songs that were sort of a similar vibe and we thought it'd be cool to put them together. But you wrote yours quite a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah, so I wrote Hyde. I had Hyde for over a year. Just Another Day was quite new, but neither works for other projects that we have going on. And then I heard some of your demos from lockdown and thought they fit really nicely. So we both selected the ones we liked of each other's and then brought them together, like you say, in our rehearsal space and recorded them all together. And then we added bits to each other's as well, which I think worked well.
Yeah.
You know, you play bass on my songs. I added some guitar to yours. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Just through bands, just in Manchester.
Yeah, we met through another project. He replied to an ad I put up on on the forum and join my band. Yeah.
See, networking does its magic. Okay, cool. What about the production side then? Because obviously that sort of comes after the initial songwriting. Was that also pretty two and two, or did you sort of do that a bit more together?
No, we did all that together. All the recording and the producing we did together, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty new to the recording process. Curtis had to guide me through the world of that. But yeah, we did do it together. Yeah.
You know, around the desk, if you like.
Yeah.
You input into what you like. So yeah, it worked well.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So I just want to talk about your artwork briefly, because I just think it's really cool. And I think it really encompasses your entire EP. Like, I feel like that's what's in my mind when I listen to it, is that sort of like those shades and those sort of like blurs of color. So where did the artwork come from?
Well, it's actually quite a funny story, because it was my housemate had some disposables in her room, and one of them was from one of our old gigs. It had like our two guitars in it, and then I took a picture on my phone to try and save it. And it was this phone case that was reflecting onto the disposable. So it was like, if you know, when you know how you have like glossy disposable pictures, it was like that. So, and then I just thought it looked cool. It was like a cut out bit of it from my phone case with the layered guitars. And then we just messed around with like grains and stuff, but ended up looking quite like, you know, pointillism with a sort of dotty painting, which I thought was quite cool. But it was an accident. I didn't mean to.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, you've explained it well there, because I never understood. Because you told me, I didn't really understand how you'd done it. But you had that in the sleeve, didn't you? Once it was finished, you were like, yeah. Oh, by the way, I think this would be quite good. I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to recreate anything like that, though. It's a complete accident. But yeah, I think we both really liked that kind of vibe, with the sort of layering. And our music video as well, we're quite into like overlays and layering different pictures.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. So you've kind of briefly touched on this, but this was sort of a COVID project. This wasn't something that was pre-planned. It was a bit of a lockdown express of feelings and emotions and lockdown boredom and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first lockdown is when we started, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just what else to do. And I thought it was a good time to make music at home. I like the whole lo-fi aesthetic and recording things yourself, so I took the opportunity.
Yeah. I think that has been one thing that's been really nice about this year, is that because so many people have, you know, been locked at home and furloughed and stuff, which obviously isn't good, but so many people have had the time and the ability to kind of pursue their creative passions, and so many people have started, like, you know, making music or make like painting and all these sorts of like lovely artistic things. So although 2020 sucked, that has been, I think, quite a nice little outcome of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I was gonna say we were listening to a lot of sort of more bedroomy lo-fi music at the time as well. I think we kind of subconsciously were thinking, oh, we could do this because we've got more time and stuff. So yeah, I think definitely it's been nice to have extra time despite everything else.
Yeah.
So the big question then, what's coming next?
Well, we write all the time. I mean, pretty much the week after the EP came out, I was thinking about new music, but we've got a couple of demos that we're quite happy with, and we're gonna hopefully get out some new music in 2021.
Yeah, we've got two new songs already, but I'm not sure what our plan is. I think we'll release a single. I think we'll do it slightly differently next time,
maybe a bit more normal.
Rather than the whole record first. Hopefully we get a few songs, pick the one we think we like the best, and then get that released early next year. That's the plan.
Amazing. Well, we'll definitely keep our eyes peeled, because that won't do any good. Keep our ears peeled. Okay, so we're going to finish up with a quick fire round. So I'm going to ask you a question, and you just have to answer the first person, first band, whoever it is that just comes into your head, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so question number one, favorite band you've seen live?
Dive.
Toronto Tulips.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, number two, favorite band that you would want to see live? They can be dead or broken up.
Alex G. I want to see Alex G.
Ulrika Spacek, first thing came into my head.
Cool. Okay, best album of all time?
Oh, that's so hard. Gonna go Transformer.
Velvet Underground, self-titled.
You can't just take another one. Fine.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, number five? I don't know what question number we're on. Favourite solo artist?
No, excuse me. Yeah.
Favourite song of your EP?
Salts.
Just another day.
Okay, and the final one, Spice Girls or Little Mix?
Spice Girls, 100%.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming in today and having a chat with me. I've had a great time. I hope you guys have too. And then, yeah, everyone listening, go check out Atmos Bloom and their self-titled debut EP. You can find it all on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Amazing. Thanks, guys. Okay, so it's that time of day where we have a little listen to the wild card. So last week was an incredible success with the wild card. So Lauren, I'm hoping that you're proving your worth and that this one is just as good. Today, for our wild card, we have a song called Vessel by a band called Artax. So yeah, let's give it a little listen. This is Vessel by Artax. That was Vessel by Artax. Lauren, you are absolutely smashing this wildcard game. I am loving it. So I was doing my research whilst it was playing. They're so cool. I love it. It was sort of like a kind of 80s rock pop synthy kind of vibe. So let's have a little look. What can we find out about Artax? So Artax is made up of Katie and Callum, and they're from Glasgow. Represent. We've got some Scots on the show. They're really cool. I absolutely loved it. They are about a year old. Callum put a post up on, it's kind of a Musicians Wanted page, asking for a vocalist. So they met up, and here we are a year later, absolutely loving it. So earlier on this year, they released a 6-track album, and they're currently working on a new single, which is good. So we'll definitely keep our ears and eyes peeled. Apparently, Callum has released a few EPs and singles beforehand, so might go have a little nosy at those after this. I absolutely loved it. I think that was a very sort of churches, Paris-y kind of vibe to it that I feel. I love a female singer in a sort of like rocky, like a synthy rock. I can see here that they've described their music as a mixture of different sounds such as house, synthwave, heavy, classic 80s rock, 80s pop revival, and even some heavy metal influences too. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. I think that was really cool. Do you know what else is really cool actually about them? Is that on Spotify, you can see where their listeners are from, and they've got such a range of like locations. Considering they're both from Scotland, they've got people listening. They've got listeners from Oslo, listeners from Milan, listeners from Madrid, listeners from Stockholm, listeners from Edinburgh. I mean, Edinburgh makes sense. But I love that. That's really cool. That did give me flashbacks to watching Money Heist, though, I can't lie. That was a lot of the characters from Money Heist. Yeah, absolutely incredible. So, I found their album now. Rise, 2020, including tracks Vessel, Big Talk, Safe House, Surrender, I'm Gone, Castillo, Silence, and Rise. So, that's what I'm going to go have a little listen to once I finish recording this. So, Lauren, good job. 10 out of 10. Absolutely loved it. Artax, I will be keeping in my ears out for you guys because loved it. That was so up my street. Yeah, great job, guys. So here we are, my friends, back on the final single of episode 2. It just feels like it comes around so quickly, the last song. I'm incredibly excited about this final track. It's a 4-piece made up of Beth, Jelly, Will and Adam, who are from dotted all over the country, and they formed in London after meeting in Southampton. Most of them are incredibly Instagram stalkable. Will is on private, so unfortunately I couldn't give him a stalk, but I managed to give everyone else a little stalk. And they've all got other projects going on as well, which is really exciting, and I'm going to go check those out. They've got this really funky sort of jazz, indie, soul vibe, and I just cannot get enough of the alto sax. It completely makes it. It's absolutely incredible. I just love it so much. They describe themselves as a sort of Yasmin Lacey meets Arlo Parks meets Rolo Trio. And I honestly couldn't describe them better. I think they're such a good combination that they've chosen to describe themselves there. So we're gonna have a listen to their single Easy Now. I love it. It comes from their debut EP that they released in June, which also features 2 10-minute long instrumental tracks, which are really super cool, and they're really, really good for concentrating and not procrastinating. And I was listening to them whilst I was writing all my notes for today's episode. So I would definitely recommend going and checking those out. But for now, let's have a little listen. So this is, I didn't even say their name, did I? Oh my God, that was a rookie error. This is Queen Colourbus and their single Easy Now.
You up just to hear you at home. I keep thinking that we shouldn't just talk on the phone, but we do. I ask how you're feeling, are you doing all right? Say you've been fine, but I know it's a lie. Cause it's you, because it's you. I didn't figure it out like that. I didn't figure it out like that. I didn't see our lives like that. I didn't see our lives like that. Easy now, your mind takes over. Line once told turns dust into gold. It's easy how a smile works wonders. I'll sing you a tune, bring you stars. to gold. It's easy how a smile works wonders. I'll sing you a tune, bring you stars.
So that was Easy Now by Queen Colourvis. They're just so cool. I love them. There's something kind of like magical about their sound. And it reminds me a little bit of The Prince and the Frog, like the Disney film, which is one of my all-time favourite Disney films, I have to say. So yeah, absolutely incredible. Like, I just cannot stop listening to it. And that saxophone, I think, is just making my life complete at the moment. They've just released a new remix. So definitely, definitely go check it out. And that brings us to the end of episode 2. Can you believe it? Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you had a grand old time. I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving listening to everyone's music. If you know anyone who plays music, tell them to submit their tracks. If you play music, submit your tracks. We want to meet as many people and hear as many bangers as possible. You can find the submissions link and also the interview request form on our Instagram, which is at soundsgroovy.podcast. Come say hi. We can't wait to meet you, and we definitely can't wait to have a listen to your tunes. I hope everyone has a bloody dandy week. Oh, and goodness me, by the time the next album comes out, the next episode comes out, it'll be so close to Christmas. And I hope everyone gorges on lots of gingerbread by then. And I hope everyone has an absolutely bloody fantastic week. And remember, guys, stay groovy.